Bible, if you would please, this morning, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter number 13. Matthew chapter number 13. I'm going to read two different portions of Scripture here this morning, and you'll see the reason why here in just a few moments. Of course, we spent several weeks certainly looking at the parable of the sower and the seed, and we talked about the four different types of souls or conditions of the heart of mankind. We find here now in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus continues in the parables, starting down again in verse number 24. We're going to read down through verse, starting in verse 24 down through verse number 30, and then going to skip over to verse 36 and read down through verse number 43 as Jesus explains the parable, if you will, here of the tares among the wheat. And so this morning I want to look at this parable, and I pray this morning it will certainly speak to our hearts here today. Help each of us here this morning to search our hearts. If you are not truly born again, then I pray this morning that the Spirit of God would reveal that unto you. Now, if you are born again, then certainly I pray that we'd rejoice in the salvation that we have and certainly be more committed, certainly to living for Him and certainly sharing with others the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But if I'd have a title or a thought for the message this morning, it'd just simply be this: as we think about this particular parable, and certainly Jesus taught, as we know, a lot in parables, certainly giving illustrations of things that folks were familiar with, the Jewish culture was familiar with, to explain spiritual truths. And so this morning we find here in this parable of the tares among the wheat, we find some great spiritual truth that I pray that each of us again will search our hearts with this morning. But the title this morning for the message would simply be this: genuine or counterfeit? Genuine or counterfeit? I want you to think about that as we read this parable and give you a few brief thoughts this morning that the Lord has placed upon our heart. We're going to try to pull our thoughts right from the text this morning to help each of us to search our hearts. Is what you have this morning concerning salvation this morning, and if you have salvation, it's genuine, or what you have this morning, is it counterfeit? Now, we're going to find in this parable, as Jesus begins to teach it and explain it, certainly some things here, again, some spiritual truths that I pray each of us will examine our hearts about today. So if you're found, you're placing the precious Word of God, say amen. All right, if you're able to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God, I would have you to stand this morning, and if you're not, that's okay. Verse number 24 of Matthew chapter number 13, the Bible says, "In another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and he went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then have it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Notice in verse number 30, the Bible says, Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then notice in verse 36, Jesus begins to explain this parable. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the title for the message or the thought this morning is Genuine or Counterfeit. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again this morning, Father, to thank you for another day on this side of eternity. Thank you, Father, this morning for your love and your grace and your mercy. And thank you again for the privilege to be back in your house this morning with your people. Lord, I thank you this morning for the Sunday school hour, the teaching of your word. And then, Lord, I thank you for the beautiful singing, reminding us once again of the great price that was paid for the redemption of our soul this morning. Thank you that you was willing to go to the cross of Calvary and lay down your life and suffer and bleed and die and rise again, that, Father, we could know you today in a free pardon of sin. But, Lord, as I've come here now this morning to stand behind this sacred desk once again this morning, I do pray that, God, you'd anoint me now with fresh oil. God, I need your help this morning. I'm dealing with a very serious subject. I pray this morning that he, the Holy Ghost of God, will give me liberty to say what needs to be said and to preach what needs to be preached. Now, Father, you know who's here. Lord, you know what needs to be said, what needs to be done. I pray this morning, if there's anyone here today that's never truly, truly been born again, I pray that you would show it to them this morning. And, Father, this very day they would step out by faith and come and receive Christ as Savior. And then, for those that are saved today, may we rejoice in our salvation and may we rejoice in you this morning and may we be more determined, Father, to stand and, Father, proclaim the truths of the Word of God in these days, in these last days, these perilous times. Father, again, now I pray, anoint your servant. I pray you put a guard over my mind and my mouth this morning. I not say anything, be contrary to your word, but help me now to preach what, Father, you placed upon my heart. Lord, I pray that you'd use it this morning to speak to hearts. Father, and I pray that we'd all be obedient. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. Now, again, as we come to this parable, as Jesus is illustrating now the story of the tares among the wheat, I begin to think about this parable, and again with the thought of being genuine or counterfeit. In this parable this morning of the wheat and the tares, Jesus is describing again or illustrating the relation of the wheat and the tares to the comparison this morning of the genuine believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and those that are counterfeit. My prayer this morning today would be simply this. If you are not in a genuine relationship with a person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that today you would truly accept him into your heart and into your life and follow him. Now this morning, I don't know your heart. I tell you, but God does this morning. He knows all about each and every one of us. Now listen, friend, if you desire to be saved, God wants to save you this morning. But we find in this parable, again, some spiritual truths that I pray that each of us will consider this morning. The devil will do anything he can this morning to try to counterfeit and to try to give you a false hope this morning. But I'll tell you what, if you'll anchor your soul in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ today, I'm glad that you can know without a shadow of a doubt that as we sang in the congregational hymn this morning, that I know that my name is written there. If you do not know that today, I do pray this morning that God would deal with you and show you this morning. Because one day, unfortunately, there will be a separation of the wheat and the tares. And so this morning, for a few moments, I want to think about the thought, genuine or counterfeit. Now, as you think about the word genuine this morning, it simply means to find truly what something is said to be or authentic. Now, I know that Jesus even dealt a lot with the Pharisees and different people of his day, and he actually called them hypocrites. And what that simply means is they were play-acting. If you'll go back and study that word, in other words, they were not genuine. I'm afraid in this day and hour in which we live, There are a lot of folks this morning that are play acting. In other words, they dress up real good, maybe on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week they give no thoughts to a relationship with a person of Christ. They may sing in a choir. They may teach a Sunday school class. They may do this and they may do that. But friend, if there's never been a time in your life where you have confessed your sin and called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and your life and save you this morning, then friend, you are not genuine as far as your Christianity is concerned. It is the person of Christ. Nothing good that I could do, nothing good that you could do this morning. It's simply putting your faith and your trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad when you do that, I'm glad He moves in this morning. I'm glad He changes that life. I'm glad He changes that individual. I'm glad He changes those desires. I'm glad for all that the work of salvation does in our hearts and our lives. But I'm afraid, and I pray that there's no one like that here this morning, that you've been to the place that you've been deceived today. But I pray if you have, that God would reveal that to you this morning, and you would become genuine. You would put your faith and your trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would do that this very day. Genuine, which again means authentic, or being what you say that you are, truly what something is said to be, or authentic. That makes us a victor in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of His finished work of Calvary, because He rose again. And I'm glad this morning for those that will trust in Him can be true, genuine believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But on the same sense this morning, the word counterfeit means to forge, it means to copy or imitate without authority or right, made in exact imitation of something valuable or important, listen to this morning, with the intention to deceive or defraud. Now, in a genuine believer, there's victory this morning. We are victors. But for those today that could possibly be counterfeit or be deceived this morning, you actually become a victim, if you will. And so this morning, I want us again to think about for a few moments a genuine or counterfeit. Now, there's three different thoughts that I want to pull from this text this morning that I pray will help better illustrate this thought today. And I don't have time to get all the verses in here this morning, but three particular thoughts that I want to think about. First of all, in genuine or counterfeit, as Jesus is giving this parable, is first of all, I want you to see there are two sowers of seed here in this text this morning. We see the sower, if you will, of the wheat, and we see the sower of the tares. We see this morning in the two sowers of seed, we see that there are two forces at work. At all times, there are two forces at work in our lives. First of all, there's the force of God. And boy, I'm glad, thank God, He's working in my life. I'll tell you what, this morning, I'm glad for the day. Thank God that the force of Almighty God, the power of Almighty God, reached down to where I was at and convicted me of my sin, brought me to the realization that I needed a Savior, and that Savior was none other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for that. But also, we find the force of that which is evil today, and it's at work around us. But I've said before, and I want to say it again, I'm glad greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. But friend, I want you to know He's at work. He is busy this morning. He's not giving up. He's not quitting. He's not backing up. I'm just glad one day my Savior is going to put Him in His place. But for now, He's doing everything that He can to deceive anybody that He can and to give them a counterfeit today. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to have what is genuine, a genuine relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Because again, the end of this thing this morning, there will be a day of separation. You can play the game all you want to this morning. You can hope to all you want to this morning. You can try your best all you want to this morning. But unless you have a genuine relationship with a person of Christ, there will be a day of separation. But I want you to notice in the text, first of all, we have the two sowers of the seed. I want you to notice in the two sowers of the seeds, those two forces that are working at work in our lives. That first of all, we see the Son of Man as illustrated here in this great parable. And of course, the Son of Man, as we've already said, being the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Notice as the talks about the sowers, he talks about the field. And the field is the world this morning. I'm glad for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad to be a part of that, whosoever will, aren't you? And friend, that's to you today. That's to the whole world. God did not exempt anyone from coming unto him for salvation. I don't know about you. That just makes me want to stop and rejoice for just a minute this morning. That God did not exclude me. God did not exclude. Listen, think about that. There's a lot of things that I may be excluded from this morning as far as this world's concerned. But friend, I'm glad, thank God, that I was not excluded from hearing the message of salvation through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah this morning. I'm glad, thank God, no matter, hallelujah, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, I'm glad, thank God this morning that he has not excluded you from coming to know him as your personal Lord and Savior. Thank God that ought to put a smile on her face and a spring in her step and a song in her heart. Hallelujah this morning. Thank God he did not exist. It's going out to the whole world. But friend, it's up to you today. It's up to you. I want you to notice in the two sowers of the seed, we have the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus. The field is the world. To whosoever will, the good seed, as he describes here the parable of the tares and the wheat, or the tares among the wheat, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. In other words, those that have been genuinely saved by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the only way that you can get in. You got to come through bloody Calvary. You got to come, thank God. Hallelujah. You can't get past Calvary and get to heaven this morning. You've got to come, hallelujah, and kneel at the foot of the cross. Thank God, bring your sin, bring your shame, bring whatever it is this morning, and place it, thank God, at Jesus' feet. I'm glad he's able to forgive. I'm glad he will forgive this morning. Friend, hallelujah, don't let the devil sell you a counterfeit. Thank God, I pray that what you have is genuine this morning. We have the two sowers of the seed. We have the Son of Man, which is the person of Christ. He field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. Now, that doesn't make us good. He's the only one good. Our righteousness this morning, according to the Bible, is as filthy rags in the sight of Almighty God. I didn't have not one good thing to offer unto him. But I'm glad what I had, a broken life. A broken life, a sinful life. Not worthy of any good thing. That's what Jesus is saying. But he's saying that good seed, that wheat, is the children of the kingdom. Those that are saved and redeemed by the grace of God this morning. But I want you to notice, not only do we see in the sowers of the seed, do we see the Son of Man, but we see Satan, if you will, the devil. Or as it's described here, the devil or the enemy. You say, well, where's his field? His field is anyone who will follow him. Anyone, you say, well, preacher, I'm not saved, but I'm not following the devil. Well, you're following one or the other. Let's look at it within the context of the parable. Now, there's just two things mentioned in this parable. There's the wheat, and there's the tares. Now, could I say this morning that every individual that's seated in this building, you're either a wheat or you're a tare. Now, if you want to see the spiritual truths, and that's what's important here is the spiritual truths. You are either a wheat or you're a tare. Now, boy, I tell you what, this is serious. There's no riding the fence with this deal, friend. There's no playing games with this deal. Jesus nails her down real good right here. You are either the wheat or you're a tare. You're either following the Son of Man or you're following the enemy, the Satan, the devil, the one that deceives. And remember, that's what a counterfeit is to do. It is to deceive. And if the Lord lets me, I'm going to share a little story with you at the end of the message about something that happened to me that was counterfeit. And as I read this parable, as I think back over my ministry, I think about people that has done things within the church, and I just couldn't believe it. And then they go right back and continue to do those same kind of things, and I wonder, now, Lord, what are you doing here? I don't understand it. People is trying to live right and do right. It seems like they're struggling, and the ones that seem to tire everything up, they seem to get by with. Friend, ain't nobody getting by with nothing. You might think you're getting by, but friend, you're not getting by. There's coming a day of separation. And Jesus teaches us some things here in this parable that I believe will be helpful to us, certainly in this church age in which we live. But we see the sowers, there's the Son of Man, there's Satan, there's the devil. And again, anyone, his field is anyone who will follow him. And all the false doctrines that we have, man, we have a world that's full of false doctrines. You better be careful who you listen to. You better be careful who you follow this morning. You better be careful who you give your money to. You better be careful who you give your ear to, who you give your attention to. There's a lot of false doctrines out there today, and not all of it is of God this morning. So you need to be careful. Here we have the Son of Man, we have the Satan, the devil, we have the sowers. He sows the tares, the counterfeits, the false doctrines. And notice even the scriptures here in this parable, they become the children of the wicked one. Boy, I tell you what, we look over this world today, we can see them running everywhere. But first of all, in the parable, the tares among the wheats, we see the sowers of the seed. Secondly, this morning, I want you to see the sleeping of men. As I begin to study this parable, I begin to look at it and contemplate on it, we find here in verse number 25, but while men slept, now we know God never slumbers or sleeps, right? He's the sower of the wheat. But notice it says, but while men slept. Now I wonder who that's referring to. Well, I just happen to believe this morning that's referring to us as the church. Oh my, there's a message just right here contained within this thought. The reason some of our churches get all tore up and some of the reason things die and dry up on God is because the children of God go to sleep on God this morning. Lord, help us today. God's been too good to us. God's done too much for us. God's brought us too far. If anybody ought to be awake in this hour, anybody ought to be concerned about this hour, anybody ought to be doing something this hour, it ought to be the children of Almighty God today, my friend. But notice what happens. Boy, I believe this happens in our churches today. We get to sleeping on God. We quit standing on what's right. Hey, man, we give a little here and we give a little there. We compromise here and we compromise there. And the next thing you know, we go to sleep on God. And old Satan comes in and begins to plant tares among the wheat. I'm going to give you some things. I pray to open my eyes here in a little bit. The sleeping of men. Tonight, or this morning, we don't need to be asleep, but we need to be on guard. Let me give you a couple of verses of Scripture. Romans chapter number 13, verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Hallelujah. We're not to go to sleep on God. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So we find now in this thought of being genuine or counterfeit, we see the sowers of the seed, which is, again, the person of Christ and Satan this morning. Then we see the sleeping of men. I would say to us this morning at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, God, help us not to go to sleep on God. Help us to stand in the old-time way. Help us to preach the Word of God. Help us to stand for what's right. Help us not to compromise the truths of the Scriptures this morning. Help us to keep on keeping on that we might keep the tares out of the wheat. I want you to see this morning not only the sleeping of men, and the sowers of seed, but here's where I really want to get to this morning. And that was just kind of introduction. They put me 2 cups of water up here this morning, so you know you're in trouble. Thirdly, this morning, I want you to see the spiritual distinction or difference between the wheat and the tares. And you say, well, preacher, it's got to be a great significance. Well, hold on just a few minutes. I'm going to give you some things that I pray that will help you this morning. It will help me and will help our church. And if you're here today and you've never truly been saved, that I pray that you'll see it too. The spiritual distinction or difference, if you will, between the wheat and the tares. As we find here, number one, we see in the spiritual distinction, we see the sowing. And we've already talked about that a little bit, but we see in the spiritual distinction, we see the sowing. As we said, the wheat represents the children of God that bring forth unto a harvest. Now, as we studied the parable of the sower and talked about the seed and the heart condition, we find there was 4 different conditions of the heart. And we find that certainly that good fertile ground, that as it was sowed, it brought forth certainly a harvest. I want to say this morning, there will be evidence in your life somewhere, somehow, if you are truly, genuinely following the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to come out. If God is big enough to create this world, but yet small enough to live in our hearts and change our lives and make us a new creation in Christ Jesus, then friend, I can promise you there's going to be a difference somewhere that's going to come out. A man, boy, woman, or girl that claims to be a genuine Christian but can live any old way. Now, I understand we can backslide. I understand we can get away from the Lord. But I can promise you this morning. If you are genuinely saved, God's going to ring your bell somewhere. Just as I would discipline my children, which I don't know what's wrong with people today. They don't want to discipline their children. Don't want to seem to keep them in line. Listen, when I come up, thank God you were taught to stay in line. You were disciplined. That's not going to cost you anything extra this morning. And just like you and I should discipline our children, not because we want to mistreat them, but because we want to train them. Because sometimes children get out of line. Huh? Absolutely. And sometimes this morning as God's children, you know what we do? We get out of line. But there's one thing about it. If we get out of line, He knows how to get us back in line. Hey, man, have you ever been there? Hey, man, hallelujah, preacher. I've been there. I know what that's like. I'll probably be there again. Lord, help me. I'm hard-headed sometimes, and sometimes God has to come by and remind me again. But I'm glad that He does. That's how I know that what I've got this morning is genuine. Hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, when I'm wrong. He's always right. I'm glad when I'm wrong. He lets me know it this morning. Why? Because that He loves me, and I'm His, and He's mine. Hallelujah. And He wants the best for me. And He wants the best for you this morning, friend. That's the reason that He disciplines us today. I didn't have none of that wrote down. That's just extra this morning. You can pay me later. But the spiritual distinction
is the wheat represents the children of God that bring forth into a harvest. Why are you saying all that, preacher? I'm saying this. If you're genuinely saved somewhere, there's going to be a harvest. Now we find in the text of the parable that within this harvest there's going to be a time of separation. And I'll get into that in a moment. But friend, if you're wheat, there's going to be something come forth from your life that God can use. See, this was something very familiar to their culture. Now, it's not real familiar to a lot of people today because a lot of people don't even know how where beans and taters come from. Amen. I mean, we need to teach our younger generation that it takes work to bring forth this stuff. You got to plant seeds and all that like we talked about in the parable of the sower. I mean, there's got to be some things grown. There's going to be a harvest. But friend, this was very familiar to that culture. I mean, they had the wheat so they could thrash out the wheat, take the wheat and grind it and make bread. See, it was something that could be used. I want us to stop right here for just a second and say, friend, if you're genuinely saved, there's something in your life God can and wants to use. Hallelujah. Think about that. As unworthy as we are, unfit as we are. Oh, preacher, I'm not that bad. Well, I'll tell you what, this morning we're all cut out of the same mold. Hey, man. But yet in all that, there's something in you that God can and wants to use in His service. Oh, my, there's just an interesting thought if I'm thinking about that wheat, but I don't have time. I got to get down to these spiritual distinctions here quickly. Notice again, in the sowing we have the wheat which represents the children of God that bring forth unto harvest. Then we have the tares. Now, this is where it gets interesting. I want you to hang with me right here for a few moments. When you study about these tares, now we have the wheat that the Son of Man comes and He sows, which is representative of those that are saved. Then comes along the enemy because men slept, and he begins to place tares in amongst the wheat. Well, there's some surprising things about these tares. As you study about their culture and certainly this time in the Holy Land, you'll find that there are four kinds of tares in the Holy Land. The most common this morning of which is in the grain fields called the bearded darnel. The bearded darnel, and most scholars and folks that I've read after agree that this is probably the tare that Jesus is talking about in this parable. And there's some reasons why. This bearded darnel this morning is a tare. Number one, it's a poisonous grass. Now, I will tell you something that'll poison a congregation of believers and do it real quickly. If not kept in check, is tares among the wheat. Those that act like they're saved. Amen. I'm dealing with a serious subject this morning. They kind of dress like they're saved and maybe sometimes act like they're saved, but they're not saved. This grass would, as these tares would come up in these fields, we see, first of all, that we find out that it's poisonous. There's something within that tare, if collected and consumed, will poison you. Friend, I will tell you something this morning. If you're a tare, you're poisonous to your own self. You're poisonous to your family. Oh, my. You're poisonous to those around you concerning spiritual things. Notice, first of all, that it's poisonous grass, as we said, deadly if consumed. But also, not only is it poisonous, but secondly, this bearded darnel or this tare that Jesus is describing here in this parable, it is almost indistinguishable from wheat while the two are growing into blade. In other words, as the wheat has been sown, as the tares have been sown, as they start to come up, they both look the same. Now, I can't look at you this morning and tell whether you're saved or not. You can't look at me and tell whether I'm saved or not. You can't look at me this morning necessarily and say I was a wheat or tare. Now, if there's things coming forth from an individual's life that has spiritual things attached to it, then most likely that's a good sign. I understand that. But when they first start coming up, you can't distinguish the one from the other. I found that interesting. Only God knows your heart. Only God knows your heart. But God knows your heart.
Man.
There's not one thing about you today that God does not know. And I'm amazed this morning He still loves me and would save somebody like me. But thank God He did. And thank God He will. But I want you to notice, not only are this bearded darnel, is it poisonous and almost indistinguishable from wheat while the two are growing into blade. But thirdly, but when they come into ear, in other words, ready for harvest, they can be separated without difficulty to the trained eye. As to my understanding, in those days, as those tares would come up among the wheat, as we see here, Jesus said, let them both grow together. Why? Because it can't be distinguished by most people at that point until it gets time for the harvest. And when it got time for the harvest, a lot of the farmers would see in the women and some of the grown the older children out to take up the tares from the wheat. Why? Because they did not want the seed of the tares to get in within the seed of the wheat. So we find that they were to grow together until harvest, that they could be separated without difficulty. So we see the sowing. Next, we want to see the growing. Notice here in this parable, as Jesus gives the illustration of the tares among the wheat, the servants come and they say, let us go and gather them up. But notice what Jesus says. He says, but nay, lest while you gather up tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So we see the sowing of the wheat and the tares. We see the growing. The servants, as we said, come forth. Let us take care of it. Sometimes like we do. Let me take care of it. Well, you know what Jesus says here? He says for us not to take care. It's not our job to gather up the tares. Hello? Church don't need to be sleeping, and the church needs to let God do the separating. Why? Because in pulling up a tare, if you're not careful, you'll pull up the wheat with it. What's the spiritual significance? If there is a tare among the wheat in the church, now, I understand also that there's church discipline and all the things that Jesus taught us in the Word of God about that. I'm not straying from that this morning. But I am saying it's not our job to point at somebody and say, you're saved and you're lost. Not our job. We have to let the Master take care of that. It's not our job. That's God's job. And if we're not careful, we'll cause people to leave. I mean, you get to mess with somebody's family and you make them mad, you got the whole family mad. Now again, I believe in standing on biblical principle and you don't let people come in and cause trouble and all those kind of things. There's things you have to deal with. But when it comes to this thing of separating the wheat and the tare, you got to let God do that. And God can and God will. I want you to understand that this morning. God can and God will. So we see the sowing, we see the growing, and in this growing again, he says, let them both grow together until the harvest. But I want you to think about something else. In that growing span of them growing together here in the text, now I understand this morning that certainly a tire is not going to become wheat. I understand that. But I want to say this morning, for an individual, it's an opportunity, if they're not saved, to get saved. To get under the gospel and get saved. It's not up to me to tell you whether you're ready to go to heaven or not. Thank God, that's the Holy Ghost's job to do this morning. But I would say today, it's an opportunity for them to hear the gospel and to be changed. So we see the sowing, we see the growing, but thirdly this morning, I see the harvest. The harvest is simply this, the day that everything is revealed. Notice he talks about the wheat which is gathered into his barn. In verse 43, as he describes the text, notice again the wheat, there shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Hallelujah. Thank God that one day we'll be gathered into His very presence as the wheat, as the harvest. But I want you to notice the tares. What happens to them? For those that play the game, for those that are not genuine, but yet somewhere they have been slipped a counterfeit. What happens to them? Preacher, God's a loving God. He'll give them another chance. Not according to this parable. Friend, your chance is now. Your chance is today. Notice what happens in the harvest of the tares. Notice the tares are taken up first and bundled up. Then somewhere they'll be cast into the fire to be burned. Notice in verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. Friend, today, are you genuine? Or is it counterfeit? Notice in verse 42, and cast them into a furnace of fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Friend, it's serious. They would gather up those tares and bundle them up. After they got their wheat harvested, build a fire and throw those tares into the fire. Why? Because it wasn't good for anything. Couldn't be used. Now, none of us are worthy of anything. I've already said that. The only thing that makes us worthy is because God made us wheat. God's the one that took us from a tire and made us wheat. I'll give you an illustration. I'll be done. We see the sowers of the seed. Son of Man, we see Satan. Not only do we see the sowers of the seed, but we see the sleeping of men. And then we see, thirdly, the spiritual distinction. There's a great distinction this morning. Even though when they first start up, they look the same, can't tell them apart. But as they continue to grow together, and when harvest time comes, the proof's in the pudding. On my last route several years ago, I've never used this story that I can remember. On my last route several years ago, of course, working stores, a lot of folks paid me in cash. I had to make a deposit every day on that cash, that money. And this day was like any other day. I run my route, counted my money, went to the bank. When I got to the bank, teller begins to count my deposit, and she stops. She said, "This is counterfeit." I said, "Do what?" She said, "This is counterfeit." She said, "Do you know who gave it to you?" I said, "Lord, no, I don't have no idea who gave it to me." I said, "I'm too big a hurry. I'm running one place to the next and throwing crackers out here and throwing crackers out there, taking their money and hitting the road." She said, "Well, it's counterfeit. Do you know where you got it?" I said, "No, ma'am, I don't." I said, "Could I see it?" And she handed it to me. And when I was counting it out, I noticed it just had a little different color to it. But everything else looked, man, spot on. Never thought nothing about it. But see, to the trained eye, she picked it up just like that. She said, "You got to give me that back." And she said, "Your deposit's going to be that amount short." I said, wait just a minute. That means it's got to come out of my pocket. Because Les didn't care where it's counterfeit or not. When that deposit said you deposit $200, you got to deposit $200. She said, "Well, I'm sorry." And I knew all the ladies at the bank. I mean, man alive, I was there every day. She said, "I'm sorry, but I've got to take this. I've got to separate it out. I've got to take it out of circulation." And so you know what Lance Man had to do? I had to pull it out of my pocket and put it in that deposit so that deposit would be right. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that counterfeit cost me.
Right.
That counterfeit cost. See, it deceived me. I just thought it was genuine. See, something counterfeit. See, their goal is to make it look so genuine that the untrained eye will never catch it. And that's the reason they've had to do all these things, put these strips and all this stuff in our money now. Because people got so good at it that unless you had a trained eye or one of them machines to run it through, you could get by with it. This is what I'm saying. That counterfeit costs me. And friend, counterfeit will cost you. Remember years ago, Coke always said they were the real thing. And then they come up with a crazy idea, we're going to change the real thing. Why, he'd almost bankrupt the company. Huh? Oh, I'm telling you what, you'd have thought the end of the world was coming. They changed the real thing. Well, this day and hour, most people wouldn't really even care, I don't think. I'm saying this, counterfeit will cost you. It'll cost you. Because there's coming a day when there'll be a separation. Those tires are going to be pulled up. They're going to be bundled up. Notice he's going to send the angels to gather the wheat to the harvest. Man, you could get over in the book of the Revelation, and you were there in the Sunday school this morning. And man, there's coming a day of separation. What about that verse of Scripture that says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." I'm not trying to cause you to doubt this morning. I'm asking the Holy Spirit of God, and He's here, I can tell it, and the devil's fought me tooth and nail to preach it. But there's coming a day of separation. If you close your eyes in death, friend, it's too late. You can counterfeit all you want to, but somewhere it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. And you'll have to pay the price. See,
The enemy that came and sowed, it didn't cost him anything. It cost him a thing. That person that counterfeited that amount of money that I had to pay out of my, it didn't cost him nothing. It cost me. And friend, I'm telling you this morning, it'll cost you. Don't play around with salvation this morning. Either you're genuine or you counterfeit. You're either wheat or you're tare. Now, which one is it? Well, preacher, if I should come up there and get things right today, somebody talk about me. Well, they probably need to be one right beside of you praying for you. Because your eternal destination hinges on what you do with Jesus and that alone. Are you genuine? Or is it counterfeit? Which one is it? Don't be the one that pays the price. Don't be the one that pays the price, because the price has already been paid. You can have the real thing. And you don't have to worry about them changing it. Hallelujah. Whoop. Cha-ching. You don't have to worry about it being changed. It'll stay the real thing. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Scott, if you come and give us an invitation. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, I know I've dealt with a subject today that, Lord, is difficult to deal with. But I pray that, Father, that, Lord, you'd speak to hearts here this morning. Now, I pray that everybody in this building is genuinely saved. And that would be my prayer. But, Lord, I don't know that. Only you do, and the individuals that are in this congregation this morning. I'm glad the Bible teaches us that we can know that we have eternal life. Not of any good thing we've done, but what you've done at Calvary. And there being a time and a place in our life where we repented and received the Lord Jesus into our heart. And Lord, I pray that, God, you just work among us now this morning. And if there be any here that the old devil's tried to slip in a counterfeit somewhere, tried to deceive and do all the things that he does, I pray that you'd reveal it to the individual this morning, and Father, they'd come and fall on this altar and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Lord, I know that you're here, and I truly believe you're speaking to hearts. And I pray that we'd be obedient, submissive to the Spirit of God here this morning. Lord, don't let somebody have to pay the price for the enemy trying to sow a counterfeit. Let them get the real thing. Let them know you today. It'd be my prayer that every individual in this building go to heaven in that great harvest. How sad it'd be if it'd be some tares bundled up and cast into the fire where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh God, help us today. Help us that are saved, Father, we would, Father, continue to tell the old story, how you came and gave your life that we could be saved. Speak to hearts now in Christ's name. Sit place softly for a moment, every head bowed, every eye closed.